Turn to 1 John chapter 2. I've sang that song wrong ever since we started singing it, if that's right. I want to tell y'all about, now I'm going to embarrass somebody, and I don't mean to, Reagan. Y'all know Michael and Reagan Ballard, okay? That's Jason Christopher's brother. That's Barry and Connie's son and daughter-in-law. They're having a baby. She's having a baby. And she's having a shower that most of her family and friends are coming to. We're having a shower here, but it's just going to be a table shower. I was going to make JC tell all about this. She's not in here. Emily's not in here. But so it goes to the 25th, is that right? So if you'd like to bring something for the baby shower, you can place it on that table out front that you saw coming in. So we won't have a shower like you normally have. It's called a table shower. Go figure. So boy or girl? Boy. Okay. Hence the blue and all the Western stuff. I figured that one out. There ain't no pink out there. Boy, we lose control on Sunday morning sometimes. All right, well, if I say fellowship, I think of a fellowship that we had last night. We had a fellowship here at the church. We watched a really good movie. We ate together and sat and talked and laughed and played. We're going to talk about the true test of fellowship today, but the fellowship that I'm talking about today is fellowship with the Father, God the Father, not with brothers and sisters in Christ. So we could talk about that. The Bible's full of examples of as we come together as Christians, you know, don't forsake the assembly of the brethren. God desires that we fellowship. That's just normal. We fellowship with our families. We're a family of believers here, brothers and sisters in Christ, and there is a fellowship of the brethren, a fellowship of believers. But as John is teaching, I kind of got to go back to those Gnostics that we talked about the very first week. You know, we kind of set a foundation for the study of John in the Gnostics, who basically... I'll mention this in just a moment. They came in and say, we have a new revelation from God, and they begin to teach this heresy within the church. And John is teaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's teaching the church because there's a group of people that's confused. They're not sure which group to follow. So that's what John has been doing. We talked a couple weeks about walking in the light as he is in the light. And several different times, John said, if you claim, you know, he made those three statements, if you claim, if you claim, if you claim. Well, today, he continues that same ideal in the purpose of writing his letter. He says in 1 John 5:13, these things I have written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So John said, here's the purpose for me writing this. I'm writing this that you may know. He says that in writing that they may know that they have eternal life. But the question still remains, how can we be sure we're saved? And what happens after we're saved sometimes? Sometimes we kind of lose our zeal. It gets zapped. Maybe evangelistic... fervor kind of dies away. We kind of just get in a rut, and then sometimes that causes us to ask ourselves, have I really been changed? Have I really been saved? I don't know if I'm truly a child of God. And some people teach that, you know, we repent, and I teach these things. There's a prayer that you go pray. I don't think it's a certain prayer, you know. There was a prayer from the cross. What was the prayer from the cross that saved the guy? Father, just remember me when you enter your kingdom. And he was saved, you know. But there's an ideal that maybe we pray a certain prayer, we go forward at the end of a service, we make a profession of faith, we're baptized, and then we're definitely saved, and we should never question that again. And the Bible does clearly state that once we're saved, we can't lose our salvation. That's John 10:28. Now, I'm not going to look all of these scriptures up just because of time, but Ephesians 1:13 says that when we're saved, we are permanently sealed by God the Father, the Spirit of God. And we could talk about what that means, but we are sealed by the Father once we're saved. Nothing's going to change that. And in Romans 8:38-39 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So when we're saved, we're sealed. We can't lose that salvation that we have received. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and nothing will separate us from the love of God. If we think our sin can separate us from the love of God, we're simply wrong, because if you read that Romans 8:38-39, it tells us there's nothing that'll separate us from that. But in 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul encourages us to do one thing. He says there in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you're disqualified? So I was thinking about that. There's this ideal of when we examine ourselves is not to raise doubt in our Christian life. It's not, I hope nobody leaves here today thinking, boy, Jake just raised a bunch of doubt. When we examine ourselves, we're testing ourselves to see if we're in the faith. Now, I was thinking about this. I don't have any heart trouble, okay? I may fall over a heart attack, and y'all say, see, he was lying. Well, if I do, I don't know of anything. A few years ago, I went to the heart doctor. He put me on a torture machine. Y'all know what we did? We walked, you know, and after I walked and walked and walked and felt like I was just on the verge of death, he come in and he said, do you want to walk anymore? Well, that's a dumb question, you know, because I felt like I was climbing Mount Everest already. And I said, if I don't have to, I don't. And he said, oh, no, you've walked plenty long enough. I wanted to kind of strangle him. So we jumped off of there. If you've ever done this, he said, as soon as you get off here, you're going to lay down on this table, and I'm going to do a sonogram of your heart, okay? So you get off, they're rushing you, you lay down, the whole bottom of the table falls out from under you. He takes this little deal and tries to push it all the way to your heart through your ribs. And when he got through, he said, everything looks good. He said, you're resting, heart looks good while you're resting. Your heart looks good while it's stressed out, you know, while it's beating fast. Everything looks great. I'll see you next year. Well, next year, same thing. Went to the heart doctor. The heart doctor checked me over, looked at everything, said, everything looks great. What did he say? See you next year. And what did I say to Denise? They're just wanting my money. He's just wanting that money. But you know what he's doing? He's examining my heart to make sure there's no problems. And we all go to the doctor, and sometimes the doctor says, hey, you have this problem, you have this issue, I want to get it to the end of it. And they may correct the problem, and then they say, but I want to see you back, and I want to see you back. I want to continue to check on this to make sure that you've moved on from whatever issue you may be having. Or they may be saying, well, you don't have any issue, but let's just stay on top of those things. And I think that's kind of what we can think about when we think about what Paul is saying. He's saying, hey, Christians, examine yourselves occasionally and test yourselves and see that you're in the faith. So what John is teaching, he is teaching the test of fellowship with the Father. And he does that through the Scriptures. And the Bible plainly teaches that it's possible for us to know for sure that we're Christians. We don't have to wonder, we don't have to question, but we can know for sure. Remember what John said? He said, I've written these things that you may know you have eternal life. So there's some things that he says, I want you to know. And in verse 4, verse 6, and verse 9 of 1 John chapter 2, he says, he who says, You know, he listed those other three things in chapter 1, but in this time he says, he who says, and that's what I want us to look at. So as we read this verse, we're going to be 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 11. Listen to what every time in those three verses, 4, 6, and 9, what he says. So it says, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in Christ. There's number one. Number two, verse 6, he who says that he abides in him ought himself to walk just as Christ walked, or just as he walked. Verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. In verse 8, again, a new commandment I write to you, which things are true in him and in you, because in darkness, the darkness is passing away, and the true light is shining already. Now, we're going to talk about that passage of Scripture maybe today, maybe next week, but there's a lot of things going on there. It kind of sounds confusing. And in verse 9, here it is again, but he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, for there's no cause or stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness, and they walk in darkness, and does not know where he is going, because darkness has blinded his eyes. So John takes this passage of Scripture three times, he who says these things, and then he makes a comparison to what those things are about. So the believer can be confident. We should enjoy the confidence we have and the assurance of knowing that we're really saved. You know, we should understand that our faith and our assurance is built upon the source of eternity, which is Jesus Christ. It's not built on any other merits. And so we examine ourselves, and there's some practical things that John lays out here that helps us examine ourselves to see if we're truly in fellowship with God. The first is this, it's the test of our attitude, the test of attitude. And it's verses 3 through 5, and really you can sum that up by simply saying obedience. Now let's read that again. Now we know this, that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we are in him. Now, I've said before, Christianity is not a list of do's and don'ts. I think that turns a lot of people off. And I'm not saying that so people won't be turned off. We just get the ideal of Christianity as a list of do's and don'ts. And we get the ideal of checking off some kind of holy scorecard that says, I can do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, but I can do this. And we go through the ideal of, hey, here's a list of things I can and can't do. And that causes people to say, well, because I'm doing this in my life, I can't come to Christ, or I don't want to come to Christ. Listen, you can't clean that mess up till the Holy Spirit helps you. So the ideal that when I get things straightened out, I'm going to come to Christ, and when I start living this kind of life, when I'm able to overcome these certain things, then I'm going to come to Christ. That's never going to happen, but only through the Spirit of Christ, only through the Spirit of God are we able to do things. So, and I'm talking about things that make us more like Christ. I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. You know, as Christians, we're all on different levels. And I really believe something that's a sin for me may not be a sin for you. Now, we might have to go into a long discussion and talk about that. But if God's not revealed to you a certain sin, you're dealing with some other kind of sin. Some sin you may struggle with is not a sin that I struggle with, so it's not a sin for me. So I think as we grow, we realize that we're on different levels spiritually. We never graduate spiritually. There's always things, and Christ is always making us more in his image, and he's revealing things to those who are growing in Christ, and as he reveals something to us, we follow through in obedience. So John says, you know, this is the obedience, and how can we know that we truly come to know Christ in a life-changing way? Some people think it's the church you attend. Some people may think it's the version of the Bible we use. I was youth minister at Fairview, and I was there for several years, and I had a man and a wife that helped teach, and I had a couple of different families that helped teach, but they moved to somewhere up on the East Coast, and he was a good teacher, and so they said, "Hey, would you come teach a class?" And he started teaching. Now, nearly all of my youth leaders in my youth used the NIV because that's what I use mostly, and I use different translations now, but mostly I'm in the NIV, so he pulls out his NIV and he starts teaching, and they said, "Wait a minute. You can't teach from that Bible because that's not the real Bible. The King James is the real Bible." Well, the King James is just a translation. And I've said this before, I like the NIV. It was translated off the original manuscripts. Most translations are translated off the King James, but they felt like the Bible you used had to be the King James Version. If you weren't using the King James Version, you weren't allowed to teach in this church, because they felt like there was some kind of power in the King James Version of the Bible. Well, there's people that believe that. They think it's the church you go to, it's the version of the Bible you go to. Some people, the length of their hair, the way they dress. We watched a great movie last night that is talking about the hippies in California and a movement where God moved mightily in that place. And people just look at our appearance and they say, "Well, that guy can't be a Christian," or "That guy is a Christian." So people use all these kind of ideals, and this all came from those Gnostics that had some kind of second blessing, some kind of spiritual experience that they said, "Hey, you've got to follow this way, that way we'll know we're a Christian." So John is telling us and teaching us that we don't have to have a hope-so salvation, but we can have a know-so salvation, and he uses this Greek word that says it's a knowledge. That word "know" means a knowledge that we obtain from experience. So when he says, "I write these things that you may know," he's talking about we may know by the experiences we've had. So when it comes to obedience, what's your experience that you've had with obeying God's Word? Again, I'll say, you don't have to know all of God's Word. You just have to know step by step. If you're baking a cake, if it's me, if I'm baking something or cooking something and I take a recipe out, I go step at a time. If I don't go step at a time, I'll miss something. So if I just go in there and I pour something in there that's not supposed to go to the very end, well, I might mess the whole thing up. Sometimes we worry about parts of Scripture that we don't know the answers to, and we just look over what we do know. So I think obedience, we start by our form of experience that we've had. We've had these experiences. It forms our ideal about who Christ is, how we grow in Christ. And we take a step at a time growing in Christ by what we know. So he says, "I've written these things that you may know, you may have attained them from experience." I want us to think about the things that we know of God's Word and ask ourselves, am I keeping God's Word? Well, I don't know all of God's Word. Are you keeping the part you know? Are you keeping the part that you understand that God has revealed to you? And that's what John's teaching. John has harsh words for those who say, "I know God." I mean, these are harsh words. Think about what he's saying. He says, if you claim to know God and you don't keep his commandments, then you're a liar. Now, remember the group he's talking to. He's talking to those Gnostics that say, we know God and we have a higher revelation. So don't just look at this and take it completely personal, but he is wanting us to understand that if we claim to know God and we refuse to follow his teachings, then the truth's not in us. That's not my ideal. That's not a Baptist thing. That's not a church thing. That's what God's Word says. He says the truth doesn't abide in us. The truth is not in us, and we become a liar. So John is teaching that group there. He's teaching those that are wanting to follow Gnosticism. He's teaching those in the church that claim to have some higher calling, but also he's teaching us today that we know God by our daily experiences in life, by the experience we gain daily, by the steps that we take in following God's Word, we can know that we're a Christian. In 1 John 1:18, it says, we read this, we studied this, it says, if you say you're without sin, you're a liar. So, again, he follows back on that. If we say the truth is not in a person, he says, those that say they don't sin, the truth is not in them. Those that understand God's Word, but they fail to follow, the truth is not in them. So he has some harsh words about that. When we look at, he says, I know and does not keep his commandments, he becomes a liar. The person who does this deceives other people. We talked a little bit in our Sunday school this morning about how the world looks at us and how sometimes we like to deceive other people, don't we? In other words, we like to put on something to make us kind of look like the world. But the other side of that coin is sometimes as Christians, we like to put on a facade that makes others think that we really are a Christian. I'm living a godly life, and I need to be exactly where God wants me to be, and I'm following God, and I'm keeping His commandments. But the truth is, we're far from His Word. We don't think about His Word. We don't try to follow His commandments. We simply put up this fake ideal that, hey, I'm a Christian. I want the church to think I'm a Christian. I believe a lot of times during the invitation when the Holy Spirit moves, I believe there's people in the church that think I can't go forward because everybody thinks I'm a Christian. I go back to my uncle that was in that boat. He was I've told y'all about him. He was saved. He was baptized. He was ordained as a deacon, and he'd never accepted Christ. Finally, one Sunday, the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, and he come forward, and he said, you know, I've done all of these things, but I've missed one mark. I never accepted Christ. Ordained deacon. There was a body of deacons set. They placed their hands upon him. They prayed for him. They said, God, anoint this man as your servant. And all he had done is live a life of a lie that says, you know, I never have accepted Christ. He got those things right, and he got those things in order. So when John looks at that, that's that ideal of somebody. They've gone through the motions. They've put the facade out there, but they do not follow God's Word. We're talking about how can we test ourselves? That's a test that we have. Do I follow God's Word? In verse 5, John says, the person that truly knows God doesn't brag about how well he knows God. He simply shows how much he loves God by his godly actions. That's called obedience. So the first question there, am I keeping His Word? Believe it or not, it's 15 till, but I'm going to stop right there. I don't have anything to go do. Okay, Jake must have had something going. But I know my next 2 points, we're not going to be out of here. Last week, we went over to about 12:10, and you should have seen y'all's faces. It was a panic. One person said, well, it didn't bother us. I think it was Neil. but he slept for 30 minutes of it, so it didn't bother him. No, I'm just kidding. I do want us to leave with that ideal of this. Am I obedient to God's Word? The part I know, am I obedient? Now, we're going to talk next week about our actions, about where God talks to us about loving our neighbors and different things. But I think that's a good place to stop this morning is to ask ourselves, am I keeping God's Word? I want to ask you to bow your heads and just I want you to be in a thought of one thing that God has told you in His Word to make you more like Him. Now, you might say, well, God's never spoke to me. I don't know what. Just the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts. If we're reading God's Word, the Holy Spirit will convict us and show us. Sunday school helps. Coming to Bible study like we're having this morning helps. But I want you to think, can you think of one thing that you say, you know, I really need to be more obedient in? And I always hesitate naming things. Maybe it's as simple as a prayer life. Maybe it's reading God's Word. Maybe it's how you treat your spouse or your children, or maybe it's stretching the truth, telling little white lies, just bending around. You know, some people, they stretch the truth so much, they just lose sight of it. It just becomes a second nature. I don't know what it could be, but this morning, would you just make this your prayer? God, that one thing that I'm thinking of right now, God, I'm going to work on that this week, that it might be a test of my fellowship with you. Would you make that your prayer? God, I want to test my fellowship with you. And God, if you can't think of anything, just say, God, reveal to me something in my life that I can be obedient to you in this week. Father, I pray this morning as we gather together in this place, Lord, I pray that we would open our minds, open our hearts to your Spirit, that we might test ourselves in our obedience to you. And Father, whatever that may be this morning, for each of us here, I have no doubt it's probably something different. But just to say, I want to be obedient to you and test myself to see if I'm in the fellowship that you would have for me to be in with you, Lord. I pray for any here that's never accepted you as a personal Savior, Lord. I pray that we would know that's the first step. Doesn't matter what the facade says. Doesn't matter what people think, what people look at, what people say. Doesn't matter what version of the Bible we use. It doesn't matter I'm a member of this church or that church. Have we ever accepted you as our Lord and Savior? Just say, God, I come to you. I don't have any defense other than the blood of Jesus and that righteousness that he offers. So, Lord, I pray this morning that your Spirit would move in our hearts. You would draw those to you that's never accepted you as a personal Savior, Lord. I pray that you'd be with those who need to follow through in believers' baptism, just to share that decision they've made with the world, with the community, with family and friends. And then, Father, I pray for each of us that you'd give us that one thing that we can follow through as an act of obedience to you this day and this week coming, Father. Lord, we don't do this out of our own power, for our own desire, but Father, just simply that we might be more like you, knowing that you have a blessing for us, you have a desire for us, you have a purpose for us, and we find that in obedience to you, Father. And I pray this in the name of Jesus.